So last week, we had the awesome opportunity to jump into the story of one of our judges, Deborah. We talked about how God will bring others into your path, but at the end of the day, it is important for each and every one of us to join together as a family, to dig into God's word, to hear from the Lord, but also to be ready to act on his behalf, to step into that place that you and you alone have been fearfully and wonderfully made for. Church, let that be an encouragement today. If you're here this morning and you're wondering, does God see me? Does he know what it is that I'm going through? God has created you for such a time as this. And if you're in the midst of declaring your testimony today, to God be the glory. We want to celebrate what it is that God has doing, understanding that there could be another trial right around the corner, but that does not diminish what God is doing today. If you're in the midst of discovering what the fullness of that testimony will be, to God be the glory. He sees you in this place and he is for you. He loves you. And what we want to focus on this morning is that you do not have to hide from him. Hallelujah. Church, we do not have to hide from the Lord. He is with us. He will not forsake us. He will walk every day alongside of us, and he loves to delight in you. He loves to delight in you. How do we know this? We know this because Easter is right around the corner. We serve a God who loves you so much that even while each and every one of us were sinners, even while sin was rampant on the world, he chose to send his son. His son chose to come to live a life fully without sin, to walk into a punishment that we should have had to pay to do it on our behalf. How much does the Lord delight in you? So much so that he would send his son to die in your place. This is the God that we serve. And so we do not have to hide from him. In Genesis chapter 3, we see this first kind of initial moment where humanity begins to hide. Adam and Eve have fallen short of the challenge that God had placed before them in the Garden of Eden. God comes back into the garden and calls their name. Adam, Eve, where are you? And they're hiding. But we also see another aspect of hiding in the story of Moses. Whereas Moses is hungry for the Lord in Exodus, he is desperate to see the glory of the Lord. God actually hides Moses in a cleft. God actually hides Moses in the cleft of a rock as his glory passes before him. Church, we do not have to hide from the Lord, but we can hide in him. Come on. We don't have to hide from the Lord, but we can actually hide in him. We can actually find ourselves in a place where we are no longer just running out of fear or running out of guilt, but we are actually longing to see the Lord in his fullness, to find him as our safe and constant refuge. Church, this morning, if you are in that season of doubt, if you're in that season of worry, if you're in that season where fear just simply will not let go, can I encourage you today, do not hide from the Lord, but run to him, run to his open arms, and hide this morning in the love that he has for you. See, hiddenness is a multifaceted biblical theme that sometimes describes the posture that God desires from us. Other times, it is actually the identical posture that God works to deliver us from. Discerning how we are hiding in each and every season is helpful to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Hidden in God and through God is good. Hidden from God through guilt is where we will find ourselves in need of repentance. And church, it is good for us to find ourselves in those seasons of repentance. Amen? I had this awesome conversation with a couple of our staff members this past week where I actually got to say, man, isn't it exciting to be in a season where we have to like step into correction? And they were like, no. No. Like you could just tell like the smile on my face was not reciprocated across the room. But church, this is actually a piece of what it means to belong to the kingdom of the Lord, isn't it? Yeah. It's to sit in this space where, yes, the Lord delights in you, but he also delights in those moments where we respond to the things that the Holy Spirit wants to bring correction to. right? Where we actually sit and understand, oh God, I see you in a new light. This is something else that you desperately want to remove from my life. Church, God wants to remove the enemy's place where he would drive you to run from the Lord. God wants to remove that so that the only desire in your heart, even in times where you know that you're not living up to what it is that God has called you to live up to, even in those times where you know that you've fallen short, God wants to remove this desire to run from him and replace it with a Holy Spirit-powered desire to run straight back to the throne. One of my favorite things that I've shared for years is that in times where you are struggling, may we have a church family and a church atmosphere where even in times where people are struggling, may they long to come and be in this room. I'm going to say that again. Church, may we create an atmosphere here in Kanata where even when people are struggling in their relationship with God, may they long to be in this room. May they long to be with the family of God. May they long to be in those moments of worship today. May they long to be present as we talk about writing letters to inmates. May they long to be in a place that will remind them of who God is, not the lies that the enemy would convict them of in that day. We come here to celebrate the great things that God has done. Amen? We come here to testify of how faithful he is, that he is enduring, that he is the King of Kings. He is the crowned King of glory. He is worthy of praise. But may this also be a place where even in times where we don't feel like worshiping, we know that we just can't possibly miss church. May we create an atmosphere here in Kanata where the last thing that people want to do is run from the gathering of the believers to be on their own. And instead, may they run to the open arms of the Lord. See, a lot of times I see hiddenness like the game of peekaboo. I had the great opportunity before I came into the front just as we were going over some of the things with our guests and family services team. Big shout out to them, all of our volunteers, all of the people who serve in hospitality, our parking lot team over the winter. So thankful. As we were going through some of the prison pack cards, we have Easter cards for you as you go today. Two of our younger families came in with brand new little babies, a 2-month-old, an 8-month-old, and looking at their faces, oh, it is just the best. It is the best. And it honestly brought me right into the analogy today of the game of peekaboo. You know that game, right? Everyone's played it, where you put your hands in front of your face. Oh, sorry, microphone. You put your hands, there you go, that's better. You put your hands in front of your face, right? And all of a sudden, you've disappeared from the world, right? The babies are just like, what has happened? Like, I was making eye contact, you were there, and then you bring it away, and they're like, yes, you're back, right? And you put it back in front, and they're like, I can't believe it. This is crazy. They were there. Like you've never been a greater, like, just had those abilities, right, to just disappear and reappear than when you're standing in front of a baby playing peekaboo. And that moment of taking the hands away and smiling, and the baby is so excited. Church, there's so often in our relationship with God that we feel like that's what God's doing with us, right? Right? Where we're expectant of what it is that he's going to do. And all of a sudden, even in times of celebration and testimony and that deep sense that God is there, young people, if you've been at a convention or a camp, right? Those moments where you're looking straight into the eyes of the Lord and the joy and just the love that you're sensing in that moment. And then coming back from camp and convention, or sometimes as early as a Monday or a Sunday afternoon, it can feel like the Lord places his hands back in front of his eyes and he's gone. The idea of hiddenness is important for us to understand, because I do not believe that that is the relationship that's described in his word. Amen? That is not the relationship that God wants you to have with him and that he wants to have with his people, that there in one moment and gone in the next. That delighting in God's love in one season, then feeling completely abandoned by him in the next. Church, this is the lie of the enemy in your life. This is not the reality of what it is that God is revealing in Scripture. Amen? Amen. See, one of my favorite things about preaching and about reading God's word is that it's one thing to read it and say it. It's a whole other thing to live it. Come on. This is the truth, though, and this is important. We do not build our foundation on the lie of what it is that we see or that we feel or that we experience. We build our foundation on the truth that is found in God's word. And his truth will constantly, constantly declare to you that he is drawing closer to you. Even in the story of Adam and Eve, it is the Lord who calls upon them. Don't miss that. It is the Lord that is seeking them out, saying, Adam and Eve, where have you gone? My desire is to be with you. Church, God's desire is to be with you. Not to hide from you. Not to be lost in the midst of your journey. His desire is to be with you. Judges chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. This is the exact chapter after what it is that we read last week. Last week we read about the story of Deborah, and as that story comes to its conclusion, it says that Israel experienced 40 years of peace. And the next chapter it says, and then they started to do what was right in their own eyes again. And after 7 years of Midian oppression, we step into this story in verse 6. And Israel was brought low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt, and I brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Midian is crushing Israel, and we find that God, the deliverer, is ready to step into their story. He's ready to be revealed in their story and expose their own hiddenness. Remember that when we see hiddenness in Scripture, it's a part of our story. It's important for us to wrestle through that question, is this the proper posture that God has called me in which I can serve from? Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 12. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Israel calls on the name of the Lord, and the Lord sends his prophet and sends the word and saying, listen, I am here, I am present, I have heard your call. He begins to call upon Gideon, who will raise up to be a judge again, but Gideon is actually in hiding himself. Gideon finds himself in the midst of a wine press. In the wine press, this is where you would bring grapes in order to press them into wine. This is not a place where you would thrash wheat. Wheat was actually to be threshed in open floors where the wind can come and carry away all of the chaff. It was actually extremely dangerous to be doing what it is that Gideon was doing. Here we see that God is calling someone who is already in a state of fear. He's already in a state of unrest. He is so afraid of the Midianites that he is taking his job, he is taking his chores and doing them in a place where he's hoping that he won't be found. But God sees him. Due to his fear, Gideon is in hiding, but the Lord is about to call him to more. So often as we journey through Gideon's story, we're quick to go to those words that say, man of valor. We begin to pull out the potential of who it is that Gideon is. We begin to lean into these verses and say, okay, here it is what God was doing. In church, God does this all the time. God will speak to who you are, not simply who you are in that moment. There's a difference, right? God will speak into your life and declare things over you, even if you're not truly that person yet. This is our God. He knows who it is that he has created you to be, and he is in that constant journey with you to call that out. You are called to spread the gospel. You are called to share his name to those who don't know him yet. Church, you are called to live in prayer, to live in his word. Even if you don't find yourself in that place today, it's still who you are. You have been created to be head over heels in love with the one who created you. You've been created to be set free and to be free indeed, and free forevermore. But we do ourselves a disservice if we skip to those portions of Scripture. What happens is if we simply look at who God potentially is calling Gideon to be, we begin to elevate Gideon as the main character in the story, but he's not. Why do we do that? Because we want to be the main character in the story. And think about how good we could potentially be if God would just speak those same things over us. Come on, someone write this down, right? It's good. It might not feel good, but it's good. It's truth. Truth is hard sometimes. Come on. What are the words that we shouldn't skip over? There's actually five words just before God declares, "O mighty man of valor." The Lord speaks to him through the angel and says, "The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." Why is Gideon a mighty man of valor? Because the Lord is with him. Think about the words that are spoken to Joshua as he transitions into this moment of leadership. Not only does God encourage Joshua to be strong and courageous, but he says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will be with you in this truth, because I, the Lord, will go with you. You can be strong and courageous. Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor, but only because I am with you can you actually truly live that out. On your own, you have found yourself in this place of hiddenness, but remind yourself of who you truly are, fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of the invisible one. This is who you are, and I am with you. You, because the Lord is with you, you can be a person of valor. Because the Lord is with you, you can be strong and courageous. Because the Lord is with you, you can understand that you can go and spread the gospel. Why? Because Jesus declared to his disciples the same thing that he declares to us, that he will be with us and never leave us, so we can go and share his word. Church, this is who we are called to be. It's so important in Scripture that we do not elevate the characters above the Lord. Amen? It's so important in our lives that we do not elevate ourselves before the Lord, or our loved ones before the Lord, or our jobs before the Lord, and the list goes on. There is nothing greater than the Lord. Gideon isn't ready for this full understanding. He is only focused on his current circumstances. And so in Judges chapter 6, 13, he declares, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this happened? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers encountered and recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." Improper hiddenness and hiding from God, and then also from Midian, only allows Gideon to see his circumstances correctly, but his conclusions couldn't be more wrong. When we learn to hide in the presence of the Lord, we will grow in the holy awe of God. When we hide from God, we may get the circumstances right, but we can get the conclusions all wrong. No matter what it is that Gideon sees, it is not the truth. Midian is not stronger than the Lord. And although Gideon himself may be operating out of fear, it is not who God has created him to be. Judges chapter 6, verses 22 to 24. "Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' But the Lord said to him, 'Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die.' Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.' To this day it stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites." Gideon finally realizes who the Lord truly is as God walks him through his journey. Church, may we have a fuller understanding today of who the Lord truly is by reminding ourselves that we are not to hide from the Lord, but instead to hide in his love. That we are not to run from the Lord, but instead to run fully into his arms that are outstretched to you. See, church, God is in the room today. And where we often see the game of peekaboo as God hiding himself from us, can I encourage you today that we are the ones who often cover our eyes and God is actually the baby in that constant state of wondering where we have gone? come on, church. In our journey with the Lord, is it not more so correct when we look at the word that we journey through each and every week, that when we show up on a Monday and wonder where the Lord is, should we not be changing that wordage and wonder if we are in the correct place? Young people, if you've gone to a convention or retreat and you show up that next week and you wonder why the connection with the Lord isn't the same, have you given him the same amount of time that you did on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as you've chosen to on that Monday? Or have we already forgotten him in light of, oh no, I have to go to school? Church, this is important for us. It's important for us to understand God is not hiding from us. We are the ones who hide. Adam and Eve were the ones who hid, not the Lord. And so it's important for us in those seasons where God feels distant to examine our own lives, to examine our own spiritual life and say, wait a second, is it me who's hiding for the Lord, or am I simply hiding and abiding in him? Is the Lord quiet because this is actually a great season to just rest in him? That's not so bad. Or is the Lord quiet because I haven't been actually active in walking out my own faith journey? How many times has it been said, church, that going to church on Sunday will not make you a Christian? It will open you to the opportunity to hear from the Lord, to hear the great things that God is doing. But we must choose to reside in him. Going to church on Sunday is a time of celebration and remembrance of who God is. But it's the equipping that God wants to do each and every day. This is why Heart Strong is important. Amen? Amen. This is why, and season 6, if you haven't caught it yet, sorry, as we're closing season 5, if you haven't caught it yet, make a note right now. Set a date, set a reminder, get your iPhone out, set an alarm that says, hey, and season 6, when it starts, I will be faithful to the Lord because he is not hiding from me. I'm the one finds myself like this. And God is the one with that open expectation that says, when will you return? When we come back to him, it is he who delights in us. When you look fully into the eyes of the Lord, church, there is joy unspeakable. There is a peace that is for you. God wants to know you in the innermost depth of who you are. But let us not believe the lies of the enemy. Amen? We build our foundation on the truth. He sent his son for us. That's not a God who's hiding from you. That's a God who is so desperate, who is so in love with you, that he would give his only son to suffer in your stead. This is the Lord that we serve. And so let us remove the hands from our eyes. Let us prioritize our relationship with God in all seasons. God, we do not want to be a people who hide from you. We want to be people who hide in you, who find our refuge in you, who find our shelter in you, who are wrapped so closely in those arms of love, understanding that you are in the room. And so what is it this morning, church, that he's speaking over your life? What is it that he's speaking over your family? What is it that he's speaking over the nation of Canada, over our neighborhoods, over our schools? Where are you hiding? Are you hiding in the full presence of the Lord this morning? Or are you hiding in your own strength and your own knowledge and your own ideas of how life should play out tomorrow? This is a new day. I sense this from the Lord today. There is a presence and a dwelling that he has in us today. God is moving in our midst. And so may we declare, come out, Lazarus. Dry bones, breathe. The Lord is with you, O mighty one of valor. Adam and Eve, where are you? God is here this morning, asking us to present ourselves. He is not hiding. This is no game of peekaboo. He is declaring, I am here. As you came in this morning, you would have received the emblems as we step into our moment of communion today. What a great way to end this message. To step back into the table of communion, remind ourselves that God is with us. If you didn't receive the emblems as you came in, just raise your hand up nice and high. Leave it up there. Our fantastic volunteers this morning are ready. Look at them go already. Yeah, those are our people. Look at them. They're awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. Church, this is our opportunity to return to the table of communion, to remind ourselves of exactly what it is that God spoke to the disciples. A reminder that he is with us, that he has never left us nor forsaken us. In Corinthians, Paul spoke to the church and said, "This is what it is that has been spoken to me, that on the same night that he was to be betrayed, he took the bread and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you.'" The disciples didn't fully understand what it was that he was saying, as he took an emblem that had already pre-existed in the Passover celebration. For generations, that bread had been broken to signify the breaking for generations, that bread had been broken to signify all of the things that God had sustained the people of Israel in as they traversed the desert. So this is my body, which is broken for you. Church, he is our sustenance. In him is life. And so this morning, before we partake today, I just want us to lean into a time of prayer. Later on in those same verses, Paul will encourage the church to examine themselves before they partake and engage in communion, to make sure that they are in right standing with the Lord. For our Lord is holy. Amen? Oh, it's better than that. Church, our Lord is holy. He is goodness to the very core of who he is. The entire Old Testament that we've been walking through, right? It's this revelation that as he is holy, he wants to create us to live in that same sense of holiness. One day when we see him face to face and are made new and are given new bodies, we will be holy as he is holy. We will participate fully forevermore in this amazing relationship that he has set up from the beginning of time. Somebody asked me one time, "Do you think eternity is going to be boring?" Church, it is going to be so much better than anything that we have ever lived or experienced here before. We will be in the fullness of what it is that Jesus began to redeem on the cross. We live in this moment of sanctification right now, in this constant state of hungering to be more like Christ. In this constant state of saying, "God, make us more like your son." Why? Because as we become more like his son, we draw closer to him. He is holy. He's created us to live in that space as well. And so we repent. Before we come to the communion table, we say, "God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, of whatever lies that I believed about you." This morning, before we partake together, I want to place what it is that we've read today. Church, if you're in this place where when you fall short, your initial reaction is to run from the Lord, may we repent and turn from that today. Amen? May we be a people that would say, "God, from this day forward, I just want to be with you. Take everything else, God, that is not of you. I just want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to hide in you in times of trouble. I want to rest in you in times of need. In those times, Lord Jesus, where I don't live up to the holiness that you've called me to, may we be a people that turn and run straight back into the arms of the Lord. To run from sin in all aspects so that we can continue to declare that he is worthy." So before we partake today, let's pray. You can close your eyes. You can find yourself in just a moment right now where you don't have to look at me. If you want to, you can. I don't know why you would. But find yourself in that moment right now where it's just you and God. You don't need me to talk on your behalf. You can just speak straight to the Lord right now. God, help me this morning to hide in you, not from you. God, help me this morning to have a deep hunger for holiness. Help me this morning, Lord Jesus, to do away with the lies of the enemy and to build my life on your truth. You are a God who runs after us, not from us. God, this morning, remind us that the only reason that the children of Israel had to wait 40 years because it took that long for them to call on your name again. And when you did, when they did, you were present, God. Lord, as the children of Israel rested in you, you rested with them. What sweet revelation we have now through your Son, Jesus, that even more so today than ever before in the history of mankind, we can rest in you, God. So be with us here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's remember this morning that our God is here. The part that gets me every time. Paul says to the church in Corinth, in the same manner as he took the bread, he took the cup, said, this cup is a reminder of my blood that was shed for you, a new covenant that is sealed, that whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Church, we are children of promise. Amen? Amen? We are children of promise. In the same manner as he took the bread and it was signifying the sustenance and what it is that God had provided as they were in this journey, in the same manner he took the cup that would have signified as that final plague passed over Egypt and the blood that was shed and spread over the doorpost that would have brought the freedom and the salvation for their firstborns. Now he's saying, this is my blood, a new covenant given to you. That as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Church, he is coming again. And our Bible tells us that he's searching for a church without spot or wrinkle that would hunger and thirst for holiness. And so that's why we speak the word of the Lord each and every Sunday. Amen? That it would rest deep in our hearts, that it would make us uncomfortable, that it would bring us to a place of transformation. Not feel good, fuzzy feelings, but a place where we can actually walk back out into a world that doesn't know him yet and proclaim his goodness until he comes. Let's partake this morning.